Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers, and we're going to be talking about Fantasia Fest today.
Have I talked to you about the finger gun I do every time I say I'm Everett that no one can see?
You have told me about that, okay. And I really think that you need to be... Okay, I think you need to add a sound effect to it. I think you need to go pew-pew-pew.
No, but I don't want to interrupt our cadence at the beginning of the episode. Like, it's a pretty nice cadence. It's like, it's our intro that we don't have to put in as a separate piece of audio, because we're so on fleek with it, you know?
I guess.
All right, so we're... I almost forgot your name, Sickle. As Sickle said, we're going to talk about Fantasia Film Festival today. First and foremost, we're going to talk about geo-blocking and what that means and if it's good or bad. We're not going to have a huge discussion about it, but I just wanted to bring it up because it's something that's going to be happening in the near future for a lot of festivals that are going to go digital, so might as well bring it up now. And then we're going to talk about what looks like some of the best movies to keep an eye on from that if you are in Canada and can go see it. But yeah, it just has a lot of cool stuff at it, and we wanted to kind of talk about it. We just saw a lot of things that pique our interest.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll take a peek at those, and then but let's complain about stuff first.
Yeah, so so let me talk about this first. No, so a lot of what's happening now with COVID and things going from like in person to digital, it's actually really cool that a lot of film festivals are able to just adapt to this new kind of life in the digital space, right? But there's a lot of downsides that come with being in the digital world, right? If someone watches something on a computer, they can screen cap your whole movie, right? And then it becomes a thing where they can just spread it out to the world and not have to, like, you know, and not have to pay for it. Like, people can, people are worried it's going to affect the marketability and things like that of film that all this stuff's going digital, right? So some movie comes out in a film festival, it was supposed to be on a circuit for 2 years, they were going to make money off of that, and now they can't, right? Because it came out once, everyone's seen it around the world, right? So, does that make sense? Do you agree with that? Like, do you see that as a problem? Any other problems you see with, like, film festivals going digital?
I think that that's probably the thing that they're most concerned about, I would imagine. But I guess I don't understand how that would apply, or how that translates to being an issue geographically, so maybe you can explain that to me.
Yeah, so I guess the benefits of these things are that A, we get to have the festivals still, B, the festivals make money so they can hopefully go next year if we're able to see other demons and humans again or whatever, and C, it allows like these film festivals to feel more comfortable, because a lot of the reason that AMC and these movie companies were getting into it is because there was a lot of things that were happening that weren't really perpetuating the need for theaters, and theaters were like a big effort. Like, theaters were, like, important, but only so important as much as that's how people were using... That's the vehicle people were using to see movies. But if they can do it digitally, then theaters go away, and the theaters get butthurt, right? Like, they don't adapt like Alamo did and create an Alamo On Demand with catered content, which is absolutely awesome, by the way. They just get mad, and they shut down. So, like...
Unfortunately, that catered content isn't going to save them. They recently laid off. They went from furloughing to laying off 80% of their corporate office.
That's probably gonna have to happen. I hope that they stick around, but we'll see.
Me too.
Anyway, like the whole point I was trying to get at with that though is that basically we have a lot of institutions in place in the United States as far as Hollywood and even the world as far as Hollywood and movies go that are only there because they've been there forever. So COVID's a nice little shakeup to that. Because it's causing people to have to think of different ways to get content. But one of the things that's happening with a lot of these film festivals is something called geo-blocking. And I don't know if this is new, and it's probably not new, but what they're doing is basically you can only see, for Fantasia Fest anyway, is you can only watch, or you can only go or attend or watch the movies from Fantasia Fest if you live in Canada, right? So the geo-blocking part is like you're only allowed to participate in that festival if you are Canada. Now, I haven't been able to figure out quite what that means as far as like buying a ticket versus being able to stream a video, meaning like I don't know if you have to have like a Canadian address to buy a ticket, or if you have to actually like have a VP or an IP and a I can't remember all the jargon now, but basically have like an internet service provider that's in Canada, or how they're going to do that, you know. I'm not sure how that works yet, but supposedly the geo-blocking is going to prevent people like you and me who are in, you know, the sub-hell of America to watch any of that stuff because they are only limiting it to Canada. And I guess the idea there is that it makes it so it's still an exclusive thing, so people will A, want to go, and B, that means that those movies can circulate through other festivals that may be geo-blocked in other regions. So it's more to stimulate that kind of like idea that it is a special festival that you should go to. But I also feel like on the other side that they're missing out on a lot of money they could make, and not just the filmmakers, but the festival themselves. Because I mean, I would go to every single festival if I could not have to travel for it, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I agree completely, and I'm not sure what the appeal is for them to continue to lock it geographically for that, because like this provides, for the most part, like everybody's been looking at this as a disadvantage and a downside because like everything's getting shut down. You can't physically go to any of these festivals, and a lot of those places or a lot of those festivals and conventions, they can't survive online. Like it just wouldn't operate that way. And but film festivals have this unique ability to just go on fully online if they had to. And so even though that's still technically a disadvantage, because some people like me prefer the experience of actually going and sitting in a movie theater, like you may find I'm not one of these ones that would be so disenchanted from not from doing it online that I wouldn't attend it now. Like I still would want to do the online thing, but I could see some pe them losing some people, not being able to charge as much.
I don't even
There's some
think it's
disadvantages.
people losing out. Like, a lot of it seems to be coming from the distribution and exhibition side of it. That's a lot of the justifications for geo-blocking. It feels very corporate to me. Sorry, finish your thought, but that's like, none of these people who are geo-blocking are saying, we're worried about losing people's, like, authentic festival experience. It's always like, we don't want to hurt potential distributions in the future. It's very much for the filmmakers and not really for the audience, is what it seems like. But sorry, carry
Which
on your
is,
thought.
oh yeah, no, I mean like basically that I feel like that's the disadvantage, but the advantage is that now you have the opportunity to open it up to way more people, which would in turn turn more profit, I would think, and help your festival even more.
And they're still making the
But I
case
guess
that
that
it's
it's.
open to more people because they're like saying, oh, it's not just Quebec anymore, it's all of Canada. So like, yeah, they're kind of leveraging that as well, but it's weird because it's like, well, you could have the whole world, like, is that not something that you'd want? Or, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so I guess I don't understand the distribution concerns either, but I just don't know. I mean, that would be probably there's probably a textbook on this
Yeah,
somewhere,
that's what I was gonna say too. Like,
just with the
we're coming at it
thickness.
from like a perspective of not knowing anything about the film festival industry more than just going to them, so.
Yes, yeah, and I'm sure that there's like a lot of inner workings to that, but I mean, I guess from an outside perspective, and an entirely naive one, by the way, I look at this and I think, well, aren't a lot of these some of or not a lot, but I would say at least in the case with Telluride, they're looking for distributors. Like they don't even have one yet, and that's part of the reason that they're on the circuit is that they're looking for that big distributor. And then there's those distributors and producers are going to these festivals and checking out all the movies, and it's like, oh man, that one's really good, and they pick up a distributor. Now I could be wrong. Maybe most of these already have distributors before they hit the circuit. I thought that that was part of the benefit for some of these films was that it helps them get in through the front door or gain some ground with a distributor. So that's weird to me that they would restrict it. I feel like a filmmaker would want to get it on as many eyes as possible,
Yeah,
word of
and that's
mouth.
what I'm thinking we don't understand is because generally, like, that's a lot of what, like, we do for, like, Hollywood and big budget marketing is, like, you want it to just have tons of exposure, right? Like, right off the bat. But I
Yeah.
think a lot of these film festivals and the people who, like, I would, and this is my own term, I don't know if this is real, grind the circuit are, like, expecting to continuously make money off of their movie for years, like, or for a while until. Like you said, like either they get picked up for a distributor or they never wanted one and they just wanted to have it in film festivals. But you're right, like But some of the stuff we see too already has distributors. I don't know. It's confusing. All I from our standpoint, it's like, let more people see your stuff so we can talk about it and tell people to go see it, right? Like, but from the other standpoint, yep. maybe that doesn't actually make them as much money as we think it does. You know?
Yep.
So.
And there's got to be a reason for it that we don't understand. And, you know, and I'm not, I don't want to put any thoughts in it, but you know, like you said, it's kind of, it gives you this vibe of kind of a corporate-y thing. It could be at the end of the day that it's a greed thing and it's a money thing and they just want to make way more money. Now there's nothing wrong. There's a difference between greed and wanting money for making your movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that those are the same thing.
Like, yeah, they're not the same. I got you.
Yeah, like, but I mean, like, it could just be the simple fact that they're the inner workings of how that works. They make more money by keeping it geo-blocked, and then it could, but then it could be that there's some bigwigs somewhere that make a ton of money because they're geo-blocked, and yeah. it has nothing to do with the filmmakers.
I always feel like there's, like, weird stuff here, because A, you can just basically, anybody, if it's ever at any point digital, or any kind of digital format, pirating becomes a way bigger issue. Because, like, if it's at a theater, it's, I guess it's digital at some point, but it hasn't been distributed. If it's streaming anywhere, I guess is what I mean, it can, it's a pirating becomes an even bigger problem, because you can screen capture the whole movie, and then you just have it, right? Like, there's ways to record what you're seeing on your computer and audio. Secondarily, geo-blocking isn't even that big of a deal for, like, the majority of people who are on the internet, because VPNs exist. So,
yeah.
If you have a VPN, that's why I was wondering if you have to have, like, an address, or if there's some type of thing you have to do, you know? Like, maybe they send you a code to your Canadian address, and you have to use that to get in, and that's why you can't actually, like, get it if you're in the U.S., is because you have to get the code to your house, or some nonsense like that, right? Like, I'm very interested in seeing how that goes, so... There's supposedly ways around it, but nope, it's not really easy, and I don't really want to validate or, you know, say we're okay with any of those ways, because, you know, we want people to make movies, and we like that. So, anyway, let's move on to the movies we like, because that aside, I think it has, it's like a pros and cons. I'd really like to pay money to watch movies before I normally get to, without having to pay an extra thousands of dollars to get a hotel room and a ticket to a place, but if they don't want me to see it, then I won't see it, right? Some of these movies have already come out anyway.
I do want to say that, like, I'm not, like, a huge advocate either way. I don't know. I think for the most part, maybe it's just my, I don't know, old grumpy get off my lawn thing, but I'm not really a big piracy guy, especially for stuff like this, where you know, this is all their, this is the way they make their money and the way they make their living. And so, like, I would love for somebody to find some way that they could prevent that from happening so that these opportunities don't go away. And that we can, and that maybe down the road they can open it up to more people because they're less worried about that. Because it's just like, don't be a jerk and take somebody's movie that they worked super hard on and they're barely going to make any money on it, as is.
It's a culture thing.
Just don't
I
do
mean,
it.
A lot of it can come down to the fact that you're the more you restrict something, the more people are going to want to have a reaction to do it. But we don't need to get into the psychology of piracy here. I agree with you. I mean, I'm a demon. I've participated in some piracy in the past, but... You know, as you learn and grow, you stop doing things that hurt industries you love. So, you know, you don't do it. I don't do it anymore. You know, get made fun of it in my demon classes, but whatever. You know. So let's talk about some movies that we're excited about. So, there was two waves. There's been two waves of movies announced, and I love the whole like wave structure of festivals because it makes everything so much more exciting. Which is like cliche, probably because like everyone's like this has been happening for years, but I can still find something novel even though it's happened for a long time. Okay, so and some of the movies that we're going to talk about have actually already become viewable or watchable on certain platforms or mediums. So let's just get that one right out of the way at first, which is Yummy, right? Yummy yeah. is actually, you can watch it. I don't know what you can watch it on. Probably, like, any streaming service.
Yeah, it's actually it's a Shudder exclusive, so...
It's on Shudder?
Yeah, it's a good... Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. So go watch that on Shudder. I mean, I don't know what that necessarily means for the movie festivals either. I don't know if they're going to take the AMC approach and just totally shoot themselves in the foot, or if they're going to, like, be okay with it and just show it anyway. But Yummy, I think, looks cool. I think Sickle has seen it now at this point.
Yes.
And his review is up somewhere, so we don't need to go too deep into that. Or we'll talk about it in another episode. I don't know what we're going to do there. But Yummy is one that we were both excited for that is going to be at Fantasia Film Festival, so that's pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
There's one that I'm kind of excited for that I saw a trailer for 2 weeks ago called Slacks, which it looks absolutely ridiculous, kind of like rubber. And it's about a pair of super intelligent sentient pants that starts killing people. And it looks absolutely nonsense and probably right up my alley. So it looks great to me.
I didn't even see that one. That sounds
Right?
awesome.
Yeah, it's so cheesy. Like it crosses so many cheese lines that you're like, "Wow, I didn't think I was going to be eating a grilled cheese." Nah, this is a dumb pun. But yeah, it looks really cheesy and good. It looks very entertaining.
Yeah, there's that movie that already came out called In Fabric, I think. And it's like a killer dress. I haven't watched it, but
This movie,
it seemed a little too artsy fartsy for me,
yeah,
but
that's the thing I was worried about. But the movie, the title of this movie is Slacks, but it's Slaxx. So at no point in any time when you're looking at this Slacks movie do you think it's anything but a funny, like a horror comedy.
honestly, it sounded more like rubber to me than it did in fabric, like plot wise.
Yeah.
It sounds more like rubber.
So let's see, what are some of the other ones that we're excited for together, and then we can talk about our individual ones. I think we're both excited for The Undertaker's Home, right?
Yes.
So I thought it was cool because I think a lot of mine are on here because they're either folky or they're like comedy horrors, right? Like Undertaker's Home seems like it's kind of maybe going to be a little more serious, but in the same vein as Extraordinary, where like these people run this morgue fam, this morgue. And they deal with like benign spirits all the time, but then a malevolent one comes in. So it sounds to me like it could be pretty like funny if done the right way.
It did, yeah. Like the plot sounds like it would be kind of goofy to some extent because, like, the non-violent ghosts that live there, and so you'd feel like, or unlive there, whatever. And
I hate it.
it feels like that they would have some kind of silly interactions with that. The screenshot you're provided and everything else says that it's serious,
Yeah, it's like it seems
but
like
it
it could be like an
looks.
adult Casper, but then the screenshot's like, wow, oh, is that that's what we're going for?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what the direction they'll go in. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to see a movie that kind of takes the concept of like the Frighteners a little bit like a serious route where like the benign spirits help to beat the malevolent spirit kind of
I'm not really
thing.
sure how you can have a movie with like non-violent ghosts that visit on a daily basis and the description be not funny in some way or to lighthearted in some way, you know?
That's almost kind of why I want to see if they do it seriously, because I agree. I think it's hard to picture it being serious, and so I kind of want to see if they can pull it off,
Yeah,
but
right. Like, so I think we're both excited for that because it's just not necessarily in the fact that it's like novel or anything, but it's a really interesting premise and to see where they go with it could be kind of cool.
yes, agreed.
Let's see here. We both have Unearth on here.
Yes, that was the one I'm most excited for, obviously.
Follows two neighboring farm families whose relationships are strained when one of them chooses to lease their land to a gas company, and they drill, and then something long dormant and terrifying is beneath the surface earth is released. So, like, it has people in it from movies like The Fog and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and
We
no,
Summon the Darkness, yeah.
I've never seen Movie Some of the Darkness, but
I haven't watched it yet, but it's there.
it
It's
seems
ju it
cool.
just released fairly recently, yeah.
Like, if any time you can get me in a movie description by saying something long and dormant and terrifying beneath the surface of the earth is released, because in general that's not going to be like a malevolent spirit. Maybe, and sometimes it can be, but like
It has
to
happened,
me that comes
very
off more
much
as
to my
some type of
chagrin.
awesome creature.
Yes,
Yeah,
like a
so
graboid.
yeah, or something, you know, like yeah, any real type of terrible creature that was hidden. So I don't know, it looks cool, and there's a dude screaming. I mean, who doesn't like that as the picture preview for the thing?
Yes, yeah, that one's obviously the one I'm most excited for, and it definitely doesn't seem to be going down like the dark spirit vibe, which has happened before. I can't think of the movies off the top of my head, but they're terrible and they hurt my soul.
They're just so disappointing. Yeah. All right, let's
Yes.
get into individuals. So let's go through your individuals first, and then we can go through mine. Actually, did you were you okay? Never mind. We'll talk about you have The Reckoning on here.
Yes. So
Yeah, go ahead.
The Reckoning was the reason I was really excited about this one is it's directed by Neil Marshall, who brought us Dog Soldiers and The Descent, which I think are two of the best horror. I think Dog Soldiers is one of the best indie horror movies ever made.
I need to watch it because I didn't watch it since I was a kid, and so I like need to go back and check it out because I remember it being kind of like cool, but not like cool enough to remember as a, more than.
Yeah, I feel like it was a great action horror movie before action horror was cool, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know if that's even a fair statement, but like I love the commitment to practical effects. The werewolves are all practical in it, and I don't know. It was a really cool idea, and I liked the and then Descent is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I
Good.
think The Descent is amazing. And so like Neil Marshall's produced some really great horror movies, and I feel like he does a really good job of like building tension, building good set pieces. So to see him tackling like this period thriller that's like set in the backdrop of like the Great Plague and the subsequent like in witch hunts that happen in England. So like I don't know, it seems like it's gonna be a really cool movie. The screenshot is like those old plague doctor masks, people standing around in those with like a bunch of dead bodies on a crate, and it's just like I don't know, it seems like it seems like it's gonna be a different direction than he's normally done in his movies. I don't think he's really known for like period pieces, and so it's gonna have his like I would hope his like visceral, grisly way of filmmaking on this like period piece style.
I think what drove me away from it was the fact that it's got a really cool title and it has the potential to be something, and then it says it's a period piece. So I'm like, it's never going to be supernatural enough for me. Like, it's not going to be. It's not meant to be that kind of movie, and so I'm not gonna like put myself out there and then get disappointed, you know? Because I'm not a huge fan of like period pieces and history stuff. So like. If it's not like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, like I don't really care about it, Abraham Lincoln enough, more than like in a movie context, you know? Like if it's not like gonna be have actual witches in it, then like I don't really want to watch it, right? I'm not a huge period piece fan. But yeah, like what you said is pretty legit. Like I didn't realize that the guy directed The Descent directed it, but like that has some pretty good things for it. But again, I don't think it's gonna be as cool as those movies because those movies had some pretty legit. Like you said, practical effects and stuff, but it was in the monster sense. So, like, I don't know, period pieces, practical effects. Is it just going to be gore or what?
Probably. Who knows? I'm not sure which direction he's going to go
Is
with
that
it
nose
with
thing a joke about the plague masks or something? Or.
the
Or
nose
no, I'm just
thing?
kidding. Don't worry about it. You said who knows, and it
Oh,
was. Okay. Anyway.
God. Okay. All
Yeah,
right.
so The Reckoning could be cool. What else you got? Under
Let's
Gods is the
see.
next one.
Oh, yes. So I have not, in the past, I have not been a fan of movies that have, like, because there's a difference between anthology movies, which I love, and movies that attempt to be seamless but have different directors throughout. There's a difference, and I don't like the latter as much as the former. I
Okay.
love anthologies, but I'm not a big fan of we're trying to make one cohesive story but have a bunch of different directors. And this sounds more like it's kind of up that route. It's like it's not trying to do an anthology. It's more like it's trying to do several different stories pieced together. If that makes sense. So it's about this otherworldly journey through Europe in decline, and it's like a collection of aesthetically pleasing, darkly humorous fantasy tales about a series of people whose worlds fall apart after they get visited by an unexpected stranger. And this is supposed to be this like singular vision, but it's put together from all the it's a collaboration between all these different countries like UK, Belgium, Estonia, Serbia, and Sweden. And so it's like I don't know quite know what to think. Like, is it gonna be more anthology-ish? It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's more this like mesh between the two.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be like five or six different directors trying to create one vision. And if we've all seen how recently directors being replaced halfway through movies is hasn't been great. So I just have a hard time picturing that
Sure.
working really well, but I am interested in it because the premise sounded
The
interesting.
fantasy thing is get me, but like again, I agree with you. Like it just seems like it's gonna be too period piecey. Like How much fantasy can they pull in the fall of like Eastern Europe? I don't know. We'll see, I guess. I'm not super. I would really be tuning into it if I was there. All right, the next one you've got is called Come True. I didn't see this one on
Yes.
here. Go ahead and talk about it.
Well, I mean, like, I'm excited about anything that has to do with the manifestation of dreams, as Ifrit knows. But the so like this one
Did you ever do
is
that project,
like
by the way?
what
Never mind,
project?
we'll talk to you about it off.
Uh-oh. All right. So this lady, she's plagued by disturbing dreams and unable to go home. Rebellious teenager Sarah is relieved to find shelter at a university sleep study. Hoping this will finally help her get rid of her nightmare, she unwittingly becomes the channel to a horrifying new discovery. So, I as Ifrit can attest, usually when we hear somebody say horrifying new discovery or this horrifying new truth or something like that, and in our heads that's vague enough that it leaves it up to interpretation, and you're like, please be something awesome. Please be something that she like manifests into life that's like this crazy, cool, killer thing. But it's probably like something bad that happened to her when she was a kid. She witnessed a murder. Or she, I don't know. It's probably not going to be near as exciting as it sounds, but I'm holding out hope that it is some kind of like nightmare manifestation thing. And yes, and that it's awesome. But I don't know. Who knows?
I straight up skipped right over that one when I saw the picture, so yeah. Anyway, Fred Be Fried Berry is the next one. And this one I
Yes.
was like, as soon as I saw, so I have a very troubled history with like drug trip stuff. So as soon as I saw that he's basically like a drug trip thing, I was just like, check out. Because like, it didn't seem like it had anything else going for it besides it was just going to be a doped up drug trip kind of thing. So why are you excited for it?
For a couple of reasons, I like the idea of an alien taking over the body of a drug addict. I think that's a really interesting perspective if done right. Like, what is the alien like? How is the alien going to get a full perspective of humanity going into a drug addict? And like, what was its intention? What's the motivation here? Like, there's just a lot that can be gleaned from that. But then also, in general, I've had really good experiences with South African films. And so, this being from South Africa, where they tend to have some really effective political commentary in their works and social commentary in their works, like say District 9, for example, I think that it could be another one of those movies that kind of really looks deep into like the drug addiction issues, where even though we're not in South Africa and we don't know all the details of that, it's pretty universal in like the problems that they have.
Yeah.
And I feel like they do a good job of conveying that. So I'd be interested to see. But I'm also on your side where I'm not a big fan of like psychedelic drug
You actually
trips and movies,
convinced
so.
me though to take another look at this because I actually do want to see this now. Because A, I missed the alien thing. I thought it was just a drug trip, which is a big thing to miss. Secondly, it's got over 100 actors and seriously bonkers FX, which kind of pulls me right back in. So like I'm gonna be on board with this movie too. I'm taking it back. I'm doing take backsies. All right. Anything else you want to say about Fry Barry before I move on to my movies?
No, that's it. Let's
Okay.
get to
So the
yours.
only ones I had that you didn't have were The Curse of Audrey Earnshaw, and exclusively the reason I wanted to see this was because I actually really like folk horror movies, even though they're kind of slow burn sometimes. But I like the folklore part. And this one is touted as a It's got unsettling imagery, it'll besiege your subconscious. You know, besiege is a cool word. Steeped in folklore and brimming with imagery is really what got me. So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily going to be my kind of movie, but I think that it's got the song, Star of a Dark Song in it, which I thought was really cool. I actually kind of really like that movie. It's only one of the few movies I actually really think is a really good slow burn because of the payout at the end. It was like nuts. You're like, oh my God, this whole thing is crazy. Like, what's going on? So I'm excited for the Curse of Audrey Earnshaw because of that.
I have to say that it's really easy for me to get turned off by like the cover of books sometimes, for a lack of a better metaphor.
Sure.
But like for example, say like the movie The Pact. Not a great title, terrible movie cover, but amazing
Yeah.
movie. And like if I hadn't have given that a shot, like that movie to me is lucky that it's got good word of mouth because the cover and everything is
Yeah,
terrible.
sure.
And like I'm not saying that the image here is terrible for this, but anytime it's the curse of, the haunting of, or the, you know, the haunt, the possession of, there we go, the possession of, and then a name, I'm immediately disconnected. I'm immediately turned off. I'm like, this has been done a million times. I hate that. It's like, come up with a better title, and I would be so much more interested.
That's a good point. I guess the curse of hasn't been done a ton, but, like, I get your point on the other stuff, but for sure. The only reason I'm kind of into it is because of, like, how they presented it in the description.
Yes, absolutely.
The other ones I have are Lucky. So, I kind of pulled a lot of the comedy horrors onto here because I always love comedy horrors. And Lucky, the screenshot for Lucky makes me feel like I'm, like, looking at the screenshots for Becky. And I'm recently really, I really liked that movie.
Nah, me too.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm into it. And it's got a masked man who appears every night. So I'm like, cool, I'll watch that. Like, it's not going to be like an hour or two that I'm going to hate if I don't have back, you know? So it just looks kind of like it might be interesting. And the other one that I've read the description for and the picture for is called 12 Hour Shift. And it looks cool because it's basically this like nurse who does stuff to fund her junkie habits by harvesting organs. And it looks like it could be like a really good black comedy that just has some kind of like over-the-top nutso stuff that happens in it. And you're like, and it's got David Arquette and a few other people in it. And you're like, okay, cool. It could be fun. Like, it could be the fun movie, right?
Yeah.
So,
just if you're going to do like morgue body part stuff, please be better than that Simon Pegg one that's based on the real guys that were grave robbers. That movie was lame.
The story is cool, but it's really been overdone now. Like, they've done so much stuff on it, it's like kind of just boring now. The best version I think that was ever done was the lore version, where he told the story, like lore, the Aaron Mankey told the story on the lore TV show. But yeah, anyway. Yeah. All right, that's all we got for Fantasia Film Festival. It's happening, by the way, which we didn't say. It's happening August 20th, I think, is when it premieres. And again, you can only see it if you're in Canada. So, you know, get your shit together and move to Canada if you want to watch a bunch of movies this year. Otherwise, you might be able to see some of those movies beforehand or after on various other streaming methods. It's August 20th through September 2nd, so it's about a week long.
Yeah. So, you know, check it out or find a way to fake your Canada citizenship or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe.
See ya. Back.